Sports Gamble Podcast.
All right, let's get into it. Welcome to the Sports Gamble Podcast, the NFL Divisional Round Edition. We got my man, Money Man, Manuel Hernandez in the house. How you doing, Manuel?
I'm doing great.
You doing great after the 1-3 wild card round?
Yeah, luckily though, some of them unders got me, so I'm cool. I didn't really touch the Raiders over unders, but the Lions under and luckily with the Dolphins not showing up at all kind of helped me out too. But that's neither here nor there, to quote my guy Cholo Fit.
All right, we'll get into all of these games this week. We also got special guest Henry Chapman. He's back on the podcast to talk about Packers. What's up, Hens? How you doing?
What up, dude? What up? What's up, man?
What up, Hen? How are you?
I'm good, man. How are you, man?
So, I just want to say you're the good luck charm. You came on the show, put the hex on them. I bet on money line on them against the Eagles. Cha-ching. So hopefully I don't have adverse effect this week for your sake.
Yeah, man. You know, yeah, big game coming up this weekend. Big game.
Yeah, so that's part of the reason why we brought Henry on. We had him on earlier in the year. I think it was Thanksgiving weekend, and we were talking about, you know, the Packers losing all these games in a row. What's going on? Coaching change. And then what do they do? What do they do, Henry?
Run the table.
They run the table, to quote Aaron Rodgers. They run the table.
Yeah, you got to give it up to Aaron Rodgers. You can't. That's not citing your work right there.
Yeah, it's not at all, man. I guess you got to take his word. You can't take his word for granted anymore. This is, what, the second or third time he's done it. First, he told us to relax.
Yeah.
And everybody was, you know, relax. And then, you know, he's telling us to run the table. So when Aaron Rodgers speaks, we need to listen.
So I guess all that talk about, like, coaching change, everything, that's all out the window now, right?
You know, I was listening to Colin Cowherd, and he said something really that kind of struck a chord. I was like, you know, the Packers get rid of Mike McCarthy. Who are they going to get? Mike McCarthy's a winning coach. He's got a 670 win percentage or something like that, you know. And, you know, he's got a pretty good playoff record. And the guys, they're in the playoffs every year. You know, they're deep in the playoffs. They usually get a win, and they make it to the second round every year. And whenever you got a guy like Aaron Rodgers under center, you know, you always have a chance.
Yeah, you do.
So, you know, you can't second guess that.
Yeah, that's what I was going to bring up. I mean, McCarthy does have a winning record, but let's be honest. We got when you got Aaron Rodgers as a quarterback, you're probably going to have some winning seasons. One thing I was thinking about just now, we actually have an opportunity to have Aaron Rodgers versus Alex Smith matchup in the Super Bowl, the two quarterbacks taken in that draft. That'd be pretty interesting.
Yeah, but you know, it's so funny because they, you know, Alex Smith went before Aaron Rodgers with the first pick, and their careers have taken different paths, but they're not really connected. When you think of Alex Smith, you think he's more connected to like Colin Kaepernick with the situation that they had in San Francisco. So you don't really – a lot of people don't remember that Alex Smith went first over Aaron Rodgers, and then he fell all the way down to, what, 12th or 14th to the Packers. Or, no, 22nd,
I think. Yeah, I think 20s. So, yeah,
20s. Yeah. It was in the 20s. So, you know, a lot of people forget about that. But, that would be a good storyline to come around. But they got a tough test over there in Kansas City to even think about getting there into the Super Bowl.
Yeah, we'll talk about that game. We'll talk about all the games. Hens, I want to get your thoughts and Manuel's thoughts as well. We talk about the lines and maybe like some fantasy implications, because this is probably like the last really daily fantasy week, the divisional round. But the first game on Saturday, 4:35 p.m. Eastern time, so 1:35 here on the West Coast. Seattle at Atlanta. The over-under is 51.5. Atlanta's 5-point favorites at home. Manuel, what do you think about this line right here?
Man, it's a tough line. That's definitely a lot of points to be given Russell Wilson, but we all know they haven't really shown up on the road. They did what they were supposed to. That was against the Lions, who had were playing their third game in 12 days. So I think you kind of have to lean towards a favorite.
Yeah, what do you think, Hans?
Well, you know, this is an intriguing matchup because, you know, you've got the Legion of Boom. You've got Seattle, the perennial power over the last 5 or 6 years in the league. And you've got Russell Wilson, who's regarded as, you know, at least the top five, the top 10 quarterback in the league and an elite quarterback. But they just haven't really shown us the Seattle that we all have known to come and fear. And the Legion of Boom, especially without Earl Thomas, you know, that's a lot of points, like you said, to be given Russell Wilson. But at the same time, man, they've got that high-powered offense over there. And I don't care what you say. I'm pretty sure Richard Sherman is not going over there talking to Coach Pete Carroll saying, hey, put me over there on number 11. I want to follow him all day long. I'm just going to let you know that right now. If Julio's on his game, the Legion of Boom have nothing on that guy. I just don't see anybody head up. They're gonna have to double team him. And the way Matt Ryan's playing, it's kind of tough. You know, you got those two running backs back there, and they don't have to run the ball. They can throw the ball, you know, horizontally, and are killing people too. So, you know, it's too many weapons. I just think too many weapons for Seattle to overcome.
Yeah, and then speaking of their defense. They, when Earl Thomas went out, they played the Packers, and Aaron Rodgers ate them up and, you know, threw the ball all over them. And that's something that can happen now because Earl Thomas is out. This is the second highest over-under at 51.5, so Vegas is saying that the implied totals right now, Atlanta scoring 4 touchdowns, Seattle scoring 3 touchdowns and a field goal. Manuel, do you see this game being a shootout?
No, I don't, but I do see a lot of holes on both of these defenses, so it could definitely get there. Atlanta gives up yards and chunks, and I know that the offensive line hasn't been up to par for the Seattle Seahawks this year, but this is go time for Russell Wilson. So, like Henry said, he is a top 10 quarterback, and he already has a ring. Matt Ryan doesn't. So I think when they won the Super Bowl, Seattle already came to this venue and beat Atlanta. So I think the X factor is definitely going to be Tevin Coleman and Devontae Freeman and CJ Prosize can go. He and Thomas Rawls. And so I like the under.
Yeah, you know, I like Atlanta here. I mean, a lot of people forget, you know, Daniel Quinn's a very good coach. He used to coach on the defense for Seattle. You know, he's kind of got, you know, he kind of knows what Russell Wilson likes to do. I think they're going to try to really blitz the quarterback. I really think they're going to try to put pressure on him and make the receivers beat him. I like Atlanta this one. I think they have too much offense. They're at home. You know, Seattle's not a great road team. Historically, they haven't really been a great road team. You know, and when you got those two backs back there, and it's not so much running the ball, but just, you know, they can throw it like, you know, they're throwing the ball everywhere. When you've got, you know, you've got your tailbacks out there, you know, 5 for 122 yards, that's tough to beat. I just don't know if Seattle is ready. You know, you look at the game against Detroit, you know, they had a great running game, but Detroit was in the game, you know, pretty much for 3 quarters. They just couldn't score. And as bad as Detroit played, you know, and yeah, the score says something different, but as bad as Detroit played, they were pretty much in the game. They were a score away from really making things interesting. So
yeah,
I really like Atlanta on this one for me. You know, I'm going to go against what everybody's saying. I like Atlanta in this game.
Yeah, Manu, you made an interesting point about CJ Prosize.
Well, I mean, I'm saying I like. Yeah. I'm not saying who I like. I said I like the under. So I'm not saying I like Atlanta. I'm just saying the way I think the tempo of the game, with the over under I set at 51, I think that's too many points.
Yeah, I think that's too many points. You know, regular season game, I might take those points. I don't think. I think I agree with Manny. I'm not taking 51 points. you know, we'd be lucky if they score maybe 30, 35 points. In a playoff game, Seattle's going to try to slow the ball down. They're going to try to run the clock. They're going to try to put the ball on the ground and run it. So,
I mean, Thomas Rawls looked good last week after, you know, not doing anything for a few weeks. He busted out.
Yeah. He's running against Detroit. We're talking about Detroit here. Come on. Yeah. I mean, nothing against Detroit. That's a fine franchise there, you know, and, you know, for what they played. But, yeah, Detroit was on, you know, the wheels were falling off by the time they got, you know, to the playoffs. And it showed against Seattle. I just don't see I don't know if I just don't know if they're going to be able – not saying that Atlanta's defense is a lot better. I just don't know if they're going to run – if he's going to be able to run like that against Atlanta.
Yeah, I wouldn't put too much trust in him. And I know Manuel was saying about C.J. Procise. He's practicing, so you might want to look out for that if he's coming back. That would be a nice option if you play daily fantasy. Hens, I don't know. I kind of disagree with you a little bit. I think if Sherman shadows Julio Jones, then I think he can kind of cancel him out a little bit. You don't think so?
In my opinion, I think Julio Jones, in my humble opinion, he's the best receiver in the league. You know, you can talk about Antonio Brown. You can talk about any other receivers in the league. But in my opinion, he's a freak of nature. He can go over the middle. He'll take you deep. And, you know, take nothing away from Richard Sherman as a player. But Richard Sherman is not Richard Sherman of the Super Bowl years. He can be burnt. He can be beat. And, you know, what makes the Legion of Boom click is, you know, Earl Thomas. You know, you can't throw the ball over the top. You know, his coverage is – and so when you – you know, Richard Sherman's has never been that corner that you can just put out on an island and just forget about that side. He's always played within the system. And he's really good at playing within that system. But, I mean, I don't know. It just seems to me that they're going to move Julio Jones around, and he's not going to shadow him. You know good and well that Richard Sherman's probably going to be on that left side like he always is. And as you can see, you know, you can get to Seattle.
Yeah.
You can. I mean, Detroit, they had opportunities. Guys were dropping balls. Matthew Stafford, he was just inaccurate. It wasn't like the players weren't open.
Yeah.
You know, he missed quite a few throws during that game. And I think, you know, with the way Matty Ice is playing right now in the dome, you know, at home, you know, and he's having probably, you know, the best statistical season he's had all year. Yeah, I just don't see that happening, you know.
Yeah, you guys are kind of convincing me towards Atlanta a little bit. Well, I'm Manuel. I know you said you didn't like Atlanta, but – my first instinct seeing this line was Seattle. They're going to cover that. Even if they get a late touchdown, they can cover those 5 points. And Atlanta can be passed on, but you guys are right. They are at home. Seattle is on the road.
Well, let me ask you.
I mean, I haven't figured out who I want. I haven't figured out the spreads, but I think that the top two seeds will advance in the NFC. Right.
I don't know. I think.
But the line keeps growing. Yeah, well, it opened up 3.5. I mean, I'm seeing 5.5s on the board. So,
yeah, but
I mean, you keep getting up there, and that back door is open for Russell Wilson. He's a hell of a competitor.
Yeah.
And if anything, he'll be good for a halftime bet.
Yeah, I don't think. I agree with that. I just don't know if Atlanta can cover that 5.5. I just don't see that happening. It's playoff football, you know. Seattle's always been an opportunistic defense. I don't know if they're covering. It'll be a close game. I don't see it. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe a field goal late.
This is one of my favorite games of the weekend. I can't believe it's the first game, but I think this might be one of the best. Well, the last game I think is the best game, clearly, but this is going to be another really good game. All right, anything else on this game? Do you guys want to move on?
Yeah. Let me
say one thing. I think what could end up being the difference, though, is special teams for the Seattle Seahawks. The Seattle Seahawks have been very trashy this year, and we know Matt Bryant for the Falcons has been automatic. So I think that could end up being the difference.
Oh, the kicking games. You're right. Good point.
Well, you know that Seattle also picked up Devin Hester. I don't know if he's got one more return in him. You know, he did pick him up in the late wire, so he was returning kicks.
Wait, isn't he going against his old team right now, too, the Falcons?
Yeah, he's going against his old team, the Falcons. So, yeah, that could be a factor. But you've got two great kickers in this game with you know, Matt Bryan and Hauschka. So it could come down to there. And if you're splitting apples there, I'm going to take Matt Bryan over Hauschka. And Hauschka's been great this year, but he's been great at home. He hasn't been too great on the road. So
yeah. One last comment for this game for me is, as far as the quarterbacks, fantasy wise, I like Russell Wilson and Paul Richardson. You can get him for cheap. The thing with Matt Ryan is he throws touchdowns to everybody. And I think I was reading somewhere he has touchdown passes to like 12 different receivers on the year. Both of his running backs catch passes, and like he has six different receivers who catch passes. So it's kind of hard to figure out who's going to catch all. I mean, Julio Jones doesn't even get a lot of red zone looks. He catches all of his passes with – he gets a lot of yards and catches, but he doesn't get a lot of touchdowns. Well, not this year at least. So. That's something to look out for. All right, let's move on. Houston at New England. This is – I don't even know what there is to say. New England's a 15-point favorite at home. Over-under is 44.5. Manuel, 15 is a huge line for the playoffs. Divisional round.
And I could only lay it, man. Double digits favorites this year have been 7-2 against the spread, and I'm one to hop on a trend or two. So I'm going to hop on it, or I ain't going to get in front of it. And so
wait, so you're
I'm
saying,
good.
You're saying you could only take the Patriots giving 15 points?
Yeah.
Damn, that's a lot of points.
Yeah, but the thing is, once Brock Osweiler, if they get down and they have to stop running, if they have to stop utilizing Lamar Miller on the road, this is not a position that they want to be in, the Texans.
No. No, what do you think about this game, Hans?
Well, you know, you got the mastermind, Bill Belichick, over there, and I can foresee and imagine that he's going to stack that box with eight and dare Brock Osweiler to beat them throwing the ball. And you know, like you said, 15 points—that's a lot. I don't know if I can take that bet. Might be a little too rich for my blood, but yeah, this is going to be a boat race. Tom Brady's playing at a high level. You know, I'm not going to give the game all the way to the Patriots, but, you know, to say, you know, Brock Osweiler plays better than what he did against, you know, against his last opponent, I just don't see it. Against the Raiders, that's hard to say because he's going to have to play out of his mind. Yeah. He's going to get the ball to DeAndre. He's going to have to get the ball to DeAndre Hopkins and Fuller, who was a fantasy god the first 4 weeks of the season. That has turned into pretty much nothing. And so he's going to have reemergence, and they're going to have to score points because Tom Brady's going to get his, regardless of the fact. And that Texan defense is going to have to put some pressure on it. Clowney's going to have to have a repeat performance of, you know, the wild card game for them to even have a chance. But, yeah, that 15, that's a big number. Yeah.
Yeah, and I just don't see – I don't see any way Houston can win this game. I mean, man, the money line is minus 1,500. I mean, it's just – it's not going to be pretty, I don't think, at all. Osweiler on the road at New England. New England had one of the best defenses this year against the run and against the pass. So from a fantasy perspective, I kind of like LeGarrette Blount and the running game, honestly, for New England. I think they're going to get ahead and just run the game, run the clock out.
I don't think that they're going to, you know, that Houston defense is, they're playing inspired ball, and I was unaware that they were the number one defense in the league, you know, without J.J. Watt. But that's tough. You're in New England, it's going to be, what, 2 degrees? Snow flurries, maybe? Yeah, Brock Osweiler? Yeah. Yeah, we can move on to the next one. This one's done. Barbecue chicken.
Yeah.
Barbecue
anything chicken, else, man. Manuel, from this game? Manuel, did we lose Manuel? No, he's on. All right. Well, we'll get started on the next game. Let's see if Manuel joins us again.
Yeah.
Oh, you're here.
Hey.
Anything else you want to say about New England and Houston? Manuel.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to add about New England, Houston?
Damn, my phone's tripping. New England. No, this is way too easy. Belichick's been known to just take out one thing, the one thing you do well. I mean, what's the one thing Texans do well? Offensively, nothing. So this is too easy.
Yeah, it is too easy. All right, Hens right. Let's go. Let's move on. So we have Pittsburgh at Kansas City. Kansas City, 1.5-point favorites at home. Very small line, basically a pick 'em. Over under 44, but one thing to keep note is that right now we're looking at snow flurries called for game time, so you might want to keep an eye on that if you're betting or doing some fantasy for this game, because it looks like there's going to be some bad weather, but of course that could change. What do you guys think about this game right here?
Well, I think that this is kind of a toss-em-up game. It's pretty much about how much Ben Roethlisberger and how long can the Kansas City defense hold back that high octane Steelers offense. That's pretty much where it's going to go. Not a lot of stuff that you're there's not a lot that we're looking at offensively on Kansas City, though. That Steeler defense has holes all over the place.
Yeah,
but you know, and that number, I don't know his name, but that number 10, he's a weapon for Kansas City. He's a weapon. So
Tyreek Hill, yeah.
Yeah, Tyreek Hill. He you know, he's a weapon. So it's pretty much, it's going to come down to that defense and how long they can stop at the big three. And that's my opinion. And that's going to be the game, because we all know the struggles that Andy Reid and his offense has in scoring the ball. So that's where it's going to go.
What do you think about this game, Andrew?
I'm not sure. So what are you saying, Henry?
I think it's going to come down to how, you know, if Kansas City can stop that offense, you know, and make a few plays on offense, make a few plays on defense and special teams, you know, get a couple scores, because that's how they win. And then they just hold you back and you can't score. So if they can stop Pittsburgh from scoring, I think that Kansas City can win. But if Pittsburgh can, you know, get anywhere, what they did against, you know, in the first round, if they get anything in that, then they can win. But I don't want to take Pittsburgh. I think I want to go Kansas City. I think that defense is too stout.
Yeah, Emmanuel, what do you think about this game?
Well, week four, I think Pittsburgh beat Kansas City 43-10, yeah, or something of the sort.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so, weren't they in Pittsburgh, though?
Yeah, they were in Pittsburgh.
And you know, Roethlisberger has big home road splits, you know.
Big time. I definitely don't want to be betting on Roethlisberger on the road.
And Roethlisberger looked shaky last week, man. That was the one game that I watched the most of. Well, besides the Raider game, unfortunately. But I was hanging out with a bunch of Raider fans, so what are you going to do? Roethlisberger, man, he threw some ugly passes. And they got ahead early, and it was over quick, but the Dolphins were able to battle back, and if it wasn't for a few turnovers in the red zone, they would have made the game a lot closer than the final score indicated.
I want to concentrate on something Hen said, because I think that's public perception right there, is the fact that this is a high-scoring offense. Both these teams for the season are trending in the under. I mean, just last week, Pittsburgh, that game did not go over because of public perception, because of 3Bs, Ben Roethlisberger, I mean, you know who they are. They're this explosive team that scores up and puts 40 on you or whatever. I think the defense got lucky, like you said, that they didn't give up more offensive, you know, conversions, touchdowns, field goals, whatever. Uh-huh. But for the season, Pittsburgh is 6-11 on trending towards the under, and Kansas City 6-10. We know Andy Reid is like 19-2 against the spread with a bye week. And this is pretty damn near much a pick'em game. So unless it gets to 3, I'm going to bet Kansas City -1.5. If it gets to +3, then you take Pittsburgh. It's as easy as that. You bet the under. We know Kansas City's not going to – Randy Reed is not going to get frisky, because he's going to play very close to the vest. He's not going to let the game get away from him, especially at home, especially with Captain Checkdown, Alex Smith. Like you said, Ben Roethlisberger is that gambler, is that high roller. So is Tomlin. He's not going to go for a field goal. He's going to go for two. Led the league in 2-point attempts this year and last. So You have those weapons. You're going to use them. You're going to take more risks, and you're going to give the Kansas City defense a chance to score. And if you do that, that sounds like a Cairo Santos field goal. So I'll look for a low-scoring game, and I'd probably, like I said, I bet Kansas City minus 1.5 and Pittsburgh plus 3 if he gets there.
Yeah. Yeah, I like Kansas City in this game for the simple fact that they are at home and Pittsburgh's on the road. And I just think the matchups, you know, Pittsburgh's weakness is the middle of the field, giving up, you know, passes to tight ends and running backs. And that's what Kansas City likes to do. Like you said, Captain Checkdown. I think Travis Kelce is going to eat in this game. And I also like Tyreek Hill to get his as well. I like Kansas City defense a lot for fantasy purposes.
Yeah, they're playing well, you know, and I have no confidence in this Pittsburgh defense whatsoever. And, you know, there was many opportunities last game that, you know, that things could have went differently. So
yeah, definitely at one point the Steelers defense is starting 3 rookies, and you give Andy Reid 2 weeks to prepare against 3 rookies. He's going to, like you said, Kelce's going to eat, Spencer Ware is going to eat. You know, Charstandrick touchdown, junk touchdown is going to get it. The only thing that scares me is that my father-in-law likes the Chiefs, but he likes the whole Alex Smith angle, him being a Niner fan and all, you know? So I'm like, damn, do I like the Chiefs too? Fuck, we can't be on the same side. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, man, the father-in-law, all right.
Yeah. Hey, that, you know, those are hidden numbers right there, you know, so.
Thank you, man, thank you.
Yeah, you know, you got to play that stuff into it. But, yeah, man, Andy Reid's been there, done that. He's been here. He's done it. He's got a great defense. You know, as you say all you want about Captain Checkdown, but, you know, hey, it works. Tyreek Hill is a game changer. Travis Kelce's playing out of his mind. I think he's the best tight end in football this year. So, yeah, I like Kansas City too.
Yeah, I think.
Because, I mean, on the real, like 44 is hella low. We're talking about this explosive Steeler defense. But the books ain't out there to just give away money.
Yeah.
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 Fantasy-wise, I think Le'Veon Bell, as far as the 3Bs, like you were saying, Ben, Bell, Brown, I like Le'Veon Bell the most this week because I think Kansas City can do some things to kind of take away Brown. They're not going to give up those big, long plays. But – they can be run on, and this Le'Veon Bell is playing out of his mind.
Yeah, and with no is Derek Johnson playing? I think he's out, right? Kansas City.
Yeah, I think he's out.
Yeah, so with no Derek Johnson.
Yeah, my guy's done. But Justin Houston is playing, and he's wanting to rack up 4 sacks on that ass.
Houston is going to play?
Yeah.
Yep, practicing.
All right, that's good. Anything else about this game?
No, I'm good.
Let's go.
All right. Well, this is America's game of the week, of the year, of the century. Green Bay Packers at the Dallas Cowboys. The highest point total of the week, 52.5. Dallas are 4.5-point favorites at home. I'm gonna go ahead and let you start, Hens, talking about the Packers side of it. What do you think?
It comes down to, can we be opportunistic on defense? Can we stop the run? Can we get them off the field on third down? We're horrible at third down. I think last game in the second quarter, we were saved by drop passes from Odell Beckham and Shepard. There was a couple drop passes. Other than that, I think it's a different story. Aaron Rodgers is going to do his Aaron Rodgers thing. If we have Jordy Nelson, which I seriously doubt we don't, he's going to play. He's got 2 fractured ribs. You know, that's hard to come back. I've never had fractured ribs, but from what I've heard, it's nearly impossible to just come back in a week. So we'll be okay. But, you know, Aaron Rodgers is – when you got a quarterback like that where he's playing like that, I think he's got something like – in the last 7 games, he's got like 19 touchdowns, no interceptions. You know, when he's playing like that, man, it's hard to beat. It's can Dallas put pressure on us, and can we get off the field on third down? I think that's where it comes down. I'd like the spread. I do like the Packers. A homer pick maybe, but I do like the Packers. Maybe 24-21, close game. But, yeah, that's what it really comes down to. Can we stop the run, and can we get Dak off the field on third down?
I don't think that's stopping the run, man. I just don't think that's – but I think the third down angle is something that – you're right. You have to get them off the field because they'll just chew up the clock and they'll keep, you know, keep the Packers off – keep Aaron Rodgers off the field. I think that's the way that the Cowboys are going to have to win this game.
Well, when I'm saying, you know, stopping the run, I mean, can we get Dak into third and long situations? We got to get him in third and long situations. Dak's a real good guy to taking what the defense gives him. And, you know, we give up everything, like a $2 hooker on a Saturday night. So we just got to really buckle down, especially on third down, and see if we that. I think that's going to be the game. That's going to be the telltale sign.
What do you think, Manuel?
Man, this is a tricky game. This game reminds me a lot of the first game on the card, which is the Falcons and the Seahawks. Like you said, it's kind of tough, like how they have that game first. That's going to be a hell of a ball game, as is this one. The thing that I just get down to fundamentals is just like this is too many points to be giving a quarterback with the pedigree of Aaron Rodgers. I mean, I know a lot of these high rollers, they bet numbers, and the numbers must be matching up to the Cowboys because the line keeps going up as well. And like you said, I mean, like that perception is like, oh, you know, the Cowboys, that run can't be stopped. But I'm looking at the stats here, and Seattle is a formidable number four against the run versus in the NFC anyway. And the thing about it is you see these quarterbacks first time playing in the playoffs. I know Matt Moore and I know Connor Cook didn't have that offensive line the Dallas Cowboys have, but let's take it back to basics. This is going to be Dak Prescott's first start in the playoffs. And we're talking about Aaron Rodgers. I mean, my guy's been compared to the Michael Jordan of this league. So, I mean, I'm gonna take the plus points with the Packers because, I mean, I know I've been warned about, this isn't the same offense that without Jordy Nelson, and I doubt Jordy Nelson plays. But This is just like the game last year where they went into Arizona and covered. They can lose, but I know Aaron Rodgers can fucking throw a Hail Mary for me to cover. I know that. Ask the Giants.
Shit. Yeah, that's true. One of the things Henry was last week, they didn't start out well. And I was at the park with my daughter, but I was following on the phone. Believe that. And I just kept looking at the stats like, man, Aaron Rodgers is getting sacked. He's not doing anything. And when I finally started watching the game, I noticed that Antonio Rodgers Cromartie got hurt for the Giants. And that's kind of around the time when Aaron Rodgers just started lighting them up. Do you think that Dallas defense can kind of mimic and do what the Giants did? Or they just don't have maybe those kind of same players?
Let me take this one, Hen.
Okay.
The Cowboys, they just lost their best pass rusher, and Randall Gregory. He just been suspended the second to last game of the season for the rest of the year. The Giants went out and spent $200 million on that front four and that secondary, and Janoris Jenkins and Cromartie and Eli Apple in the first rounder. The Cowboys don't have that. So I don't think they can stop. I don't think they can do that. They can get to the quarterback. Like, you're comparing the Cowboys front four to the Giants front four. I don't think that you can do that. I think your best hope for is to have the defense be protected by the offense in that run game. And if you say it's unstoppable, then they're going to be fresh, and it's going to be harder for Aaron Rodgers to get his point across. But I think he can still cover and be up there to almost win the game, probably with a chance to win the game. I mean, we've seen it that he's built that rapport with Jared Cook now, so he's got that safety valve at the tight end position. Randall Cobb seems to be healthy, he's come alive. I mean, I know Henry loves to hear this stuff, so just talk to him.
You know, everybody's kind of playing up the part with Maurice Claiborne coming back, but, you know, he's playing in the slot. When you have a guy like an Aaron Rodgers, a Tom Brady, you know, when you've got these elite quarterbacks, and when they're on, they're just practically impossible to beat, you know. And Davante Adams is playing well. A big storyline, I think, is Geronimo Allison's going to play? Is he going to play with the whole marijuana thing? you know, is Jared Janis going to come back and play and just appear out of nowhere like he did last year in the divisional round? So, you know, there's a lot of things that play, but I think it really boils down to is getting Dak Prescott off the field in third down. You know, the catch or the non-catch, you know, that you had with Dez Bryant is still fresh in Cowboy fans' minds. And so, you know, a lot of things is going on, but, you know, from a fan spot, you know, I'm really taking the Packers. And then from a player spot, it's more of a toss-up, you know. It's just a toss-up. I think Dallas is a better team. Their defense has played well. But, you know, look to Aaron Rodgers throw the ball 50 times this game, you know. They might dick
it. Let me ask you something, Hen. Let me ask you something, because I know this is hypothetically speaking. This is not – I mean, this is just out there. And, Roach, you can chime in on this too.
Thank you.
Would you be a little bit more afraid of this game if, say, Romo was starting? Or would you be like, all right, cool, they just went through a chink in the whole fucking situation?
You know, if you're asking me, I would be scared to death. I would be scared to death if Romo was playing. You know, take nothing away from Dak as a quarterback, and to see what he's done as a rookie is incredible. You know, I haven't seen a quarterback come in and really take the reins to a team since Ben Roethlisberger did it with Pittsburgh. But I think the difference between Romo and Dak gives you that escapability. He gives you that ability and the threat to run the ball. But Dak doesn't really stretch the field. You've only seen it maybe once or twice that he really stretches the field. Romo stretches the field, you know. And Romo, in lack of a better word, but he activates that beast over there, that number 88, you know, because he pushes the issue to get him the ball, whereas Dak is kind of beating you by committee. You know, he's got a safety valve in Jason Witten, but, you know, he's spreading the wealth.
And, not only that, you bring a good point. If you have a play action with Tony Romo and you activate that 88, man, and that sorry ass secondary, excuse me, hint is not frightening me. I would lay the five with the Cowboys if Romo was starting. Yeah. I'm just saying that.
No, you know, we can't cover. We couldn't cover. Hey, we couldn't paint cover a barn if we had a can of paint on the side. We couldn't do it. It's just. Our secondary is terrible, and it's not so much that it's our safety. We just – our cornerbacks can't cover anybody. We couldn't cover an old lady if she was laying in the bed and had three blankets on the side. We couldn't do it.
And I know what you mean. I mean, I know what you're saying. Like, I know you don't want to fire GMs, don't want to fire coaches, but these things have to be addressed, because when you have an A1 quarterback such as Aaron Rodgers, he covers up a lot of blemishes.
Absolutely. And I think you're wasting years. You know, the Packers are notorious for just building through the draft. You got to go out there and get a free agent. You got to go out there and get somebody that can cover somebody. I mean, you know, God bless Dak and playing the way. But like you said, you know, and this is just hypothetically speaking, if Romo's out there, that's a different aspect that you got to worry about. Because now you got, you know, not Dak doesn't turn the ball over, but he's not pushing the envelope either.
All right, so let's see this scenario plays out. Rodgers comes out hot, you know, gets a few touchdowns. Dak has some jitters, maybe has a bad turnover. All of a sudden, it's 17-3 halftime. Do we see Romo at all? Is there any Romo chance?
Jones got to be in that locker room. He's got to be in there hyping up his troops. Maybe we don't see him till the fourth quarter, honestly, mid-third. I don't think they see him. I don't know how many times the camera will go to Romo. He'll be looking up at the scoreboard with his hat on backwards.
You know what? I'll be 100% with you. The way Jerry Jones is, hypothetically speaking, Tony Romo. My heart says we won't see Tony Romo, but let the Packers get up 17-3 early in the second, early in the third. There's a chance you can see Romo. You know, I just see that. You know, you got a rookie quarterback. We'll see what Don Capers dials up to try to stop it. But, you know, he's got that great Band-Aid. He's got that great, you know, he's got that dude back there, that 21. And you can just lean on that in that offensive line. And he just hand the ball. That's why they've been so great this year. Just the ability to run the ball, control the clock. I don't think they're going to change their game plan. I'm just saying, if we can get them,
and that's why I like the Cowboys. That's why I like the Packers to cover, because it sounds like strength on strength. It sounds like the Cowboys are going to be willing to run into the teeth of that defense, which is number fourth ranked against the run in the NFC, and they're not going to attack that, you know, less than formidable secondary that we've all been talking about how shitty it is.
But they're going to have to, man. They're going to have to, because that's the weakness, and that's the if the Packers try to shut down the run, then they're just leaving themselves even more wide open.
Well, if you look at the game, was week 10. I mean, it wasn't a blowout. You know, I want to say it was 24-13 was the score. I can't remember exactly off the top of my head. But, you know, Dak played well. You know, it was just, you know, Aaron Rodgers just couldn't hit anybody. But that defense has played well. But I just think that, you know, when you got that number 12 out there, and if they can't put any pressure on him, you see what happens. We all saw what happened last week.
And that's why it's America's game of the week. I can't actually wait. I actually wasn't looking forward to it on Sunday. I was like, whatever. But now I'm like, oh, man, please, Aaron Rodgers, take a 20-6 lead in the halftime. Please.
All right, here are some stats from when they met earlier in the year. Ezekiel Elliott, 28 carries, 157 yards. Rodgers had 42 pass attempts, 294 yards and a touchdown. Cowboys won 30-16. Dak Prescott lit him up, 247 yards, 3 touchdowns, only 27 attempts, because it looks like they were controlling the clock a little bit more. I mean, that was a different time, though. That was a different time.
Well, whenever Zeke has 28 to 30 carries and he's got 150 yards, They're practically impossible to beat. Mm-hmm. You know, I can think back to that game, and it was just time of possession. You know, when they take you on these 6, 8 to 10, 6, 7, 8, 9, you know, minute drives, you know, it takes the heart out your defense, and then next you know you're in a hurry on offense trying to score, and so it's tough. You know, their greatest defense is their offense.
Hey, this was the first
time. Yeah, I'm just going to say, like, the best defense is Aaron Rodgers. This is all on Aaron Rodgers. He's the franchise. And the thing is, at the time they played, I believe that they were a lost team, and now they're found. The Cowboys have always been, you know, a run-first team. And I just think that you have to – if Dak comes out throwing, that's what he's – they're going to have to – Dak's going to have to throw the rock.
Yeah, I completely agree. So this is the first I've heard of this Geronimo, what's his name? Geronimo Allison, the marijuana charge. But is he going to get suspended or anything?
Well, I don't think it's too late for that. I don't think that's going to happen where there's going to be a suspension or anything of that matter. I mean, unless the team, you know, does something like that, but we should have heard that by now. This happened a few months ago.
It happened in September. The incident happened, but the files were charged on December 15th. I just looked it up right now.
Okay. He'll play. I mean, it's playoff time. And I don't care how well of an organization you're playing. The guy's going to play. I think so. You know, it's all hands on deck right now. I think the Packers like their chances. I think they like where they sit. I think they're comfortable if they can pull out a win over here against Dallas. They'd like their chances against either Seattle or Atlanta. So in that regard, I think he will play.
And
the big thing is,
go ahead.
I think the big thing is if Jordy plays, but even if Jordy's play, I don't think he's going to be very effective. So, that's where it pretty much boils down to.
Well, Jordy didn't practice today. I'm looking at the practice report, but Ty Montgomery is not even listed on the injury report. And he limped off the field against the Giants.
Yeah, well, I think he'll play, but I really don't think that it's going to change much about what our game plan is to, you know, because, you know, Ty Montgomery's been playing well, but then at times, you know, it's Ripkowski.
You know,
we see Ripkowski, and Ripkowski didn't run the ball well. So, you know, I think McCarthy will mix it up and try to get what he can and mix things up. But it's going to be a great game, and I think it'll be a close game. It's going to come down to a field goal, special teams. So, you know, as a Packer fan, I really think we can pull it off, but you know, some things are have to happen. And we've got to get him off on third down, cuz Zeke's going to run wild, and there's not a whole much we can do about that, but you know, getting him off on third down, getting him off the field is going to be real big for us.
Yeah, the reason why I was asking about Allison and Montgomery is because from a fantasy, I mean, to me, I'm playing Aaron Rodgers because he's just been so hot lately, and every time I'm like, oh, everyone's going to play Aaron Rodgers, I'm not going to play him. It doesn't matter. He still puts up 300 yards and 4 touchdowns, and I'm always asking myself, shit, why didn't I just play Aaron Rodgers? So I'm just going to say fuck it and play Aaron Rodgers on all my teams this week, or most of them. And if Jordy's going to be out, then someone has to fill those spots. So I think it's going to be Geronimo Allison, honestly, because he's been getting all the snaps.
I think we'll be okay on offense. I think we'll be able to score the ball. Dallas's defense is very underrated, but I think it's just going to come down to, you know, it's going to come down to that defense and getting off the field on third down.
Yeah, on the other side of the ball, I like those Dallas receivers. I think they're going to be sneaky because everyone's going to be on Zeke. And I like Terrence Williams, to be honest, man. He's super cheap, and anyone going against this Packers secondary is an option. What do you think, Manny? Any more comments on this game right here?
Man, well, I mean, I know we've been kind of, you know, jacking off to the Packers, but definitely, you know, the Cowboys come in. They're the number one seed. They got, you know, the extra week, the bye week. So, Garrett's a hell of a coach. He had to have had something cooked up because – I mean, you're talking about the number one seed with the best offensive line, and that, you know, good blocking, run blocking, pass blocking, that's not an accident. That's going to be consistent as hell. So it's going to be tough, but hopefully, you know, we're for a hell of a game.
All right, before we end this, let's get some picks. Hands, who are your picks this week? You like all the home teams? You like any road? No road teams won last week. It was all the home favorites. You think we see the same thing this week?
I think the trend is going to continue that all the home team win. I'm still going to take my Packers. I can't do it. I'm sorry. That's fine.
That's fine.
I'm taking my Packers, yeah.
Manny, what do you think?
Yeah, I think all the home teams advance. I'm getting points, so it's cool.
Yeah, I think I'm with hands. I like the Packers as the only road team to win this week and kind of switch things up a little bit. I do like the Packers. All right, anything else before we go? You guys good?
No, that's about it.
All right, thanks a lot, Hans.
We all know that we're playing the New England Invitational, right?
yeah. New England will be in the playoffs. I mean, the Super Bowl, I believe.
They'll win the Super Bowl and stick it to Cadell and be like, there's your fucking spy gate or what was it? The deflate gate.
All right, well, thanks a lot, Hans, for joining us once again. And if the Packers make the Super Bowl, we're going to have to get you back on, all right?
Man, always a pleasure, fellas. Always
a pleasure.
Yeah,
Hans. Good night, man. All right,
thanks, Manuel. Peace out.
Tired of losing? Not winning enough? Sports Gamble Podcast. Your mom's favorite sports gamble podcast.